Well, some of you are saying, oh, don't tell me he's going to go through the whole chapter. We'll be here to midnight. Pardon me, no. Excuse me, I just want to have a cough for a minute. No, we're going to have a look at some sections of that. There's a little section in the middle where John seems to diverge, and we're going to look at that the next time we meet. So, but if you've got your Bibles, please open them and let's have a look. Now, today we've got stop and do a check. So if you're a note taker and you can't reach one, there are some spares out the front here. Now, we started a couple of weeks ago with this envelope, and I said it's like John sending us a personal letter. It's a letter from God that's come through John. I don't know whether you take that seriously or whether you think, oh yes, here he is with another gimmick, but it just seems to me that particularly if we're thinking of NAIDOC, we're thinking of how some of our Indigenous Aboriginal friends communicate. They communicate in pictures. God, when he wanted to communicate with us, sent his son. And I like to think that each week, anyhow as I prepare, and I like to think each week, that as we receive a little bit more of the letter, it's a bit like a letter from, well, I don't know whether we'd say grandpa, but someone that's very special. And we just keep that letter because we want to read it over and over again. Now, you might think, oh, what a sentimental old person. But I hate to think that we have the Word of God and we ignore it. I hate to think that Jesus has taken the time to come and we ignore him. So let's be serious. So John started, didn't he, by saying, we've touched, we've seen, we've heard, we've walked with, maybe we've been fed by Jesus. This is the affirmation. Now, what does that do to our faith? When you hear something like that, what does that do anything for our faith? Pardon? Strengthens, right. Anything else? It reminds us that this is not made up. All right? This is not made up. Like many other religions, there's something mystical. Here is the Son of God on earth, and people testify to that. Then we were reminded that God is light, and we're reminded as well, I hope, that all Christian behaviour, how we behave during the week, needs to be consistent with God's nature, which is light, which means we are transparent, which means we walk in the light. And we follow the historical disclosure I've got there of Jesus. So the way Jesus lived is the way we live. We are Christians, we are followers of Jesus. We are indwelt by his Spirit. So we don't make up things. We've got it here, we've got the model in Jesus, and that's how we live. Now, we had read to us the whole of that chapter, because it fits in the context. John's purpose was to prevent us sinning, not to condone it. He saw and still sees, and we see, the damage sin does to people's lives. So the challenge is, not to sin. Not to sin. And that's the encouragement. So it's, we may not sin, is the negative. But if anyone does sin, that's the positive, that we have a forgiver. We have someone who goes between us and God and forgives. So we have God's gracious, gracious provision. An advocate with the Father. I think I mentioned last week some of the connotations of what that is. An advocate, someone who comes alongside and assists. Isn't that wonderful? When we're in a desperate state of having sinned, Jesus comes alongside and says, well, actually, I am here and I go to the Father on your behalf. So it's as if I sin. I can't stand in front of God or come before God like that. But it's as if when I'm standing here having sinned, Jesus stands in front of me and says to the Father, on behalf of Colin, I am here. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. On behalf of each one of us, Jesus stands there. Now, these two little words, expiation and propitiation, people have written books about them, and there's sort of only fine lines, and I was going to say it's a waste of time. It's not really, but I think we can put our time into better study than spending time on certain words. But it simply means Jesus is there for the sin of the world. For the sin of the world. Let's not be exclusive here and let's be careful. Not just for me, but for the world. And that's what sent out missionaries. I was going to say threw them out into the world. Well, it did in a way, what some of them put up with, but they went into the world because they were concerned that people knew about Jesus. That was the missionary thrust. And people are still going today to tell people about Jesus. How wonderful. Now, there are three tests, and that's what I want to look at today. There are three tests that John gives here, and the section that we're going to leave out is from 12 down to the end of 17, and that's when we'll look at next time. All right, so there are three tests. There's the moral or obedience test, there's the love or social test, the bit we're going to leave out, and then there's the doctrinal test. How do we fit in with this? Where do we measure up? Friends, as Christians, we're not too good, I don't think, at checking ourselves out. Like I'm a Christian, I'm forgiven, and that's it. Well, it's good sometimes to say, well, actually, how do I measure up to what God is saying? Because it's easy for us to make up our own rules, and we need to be very careful about that. So, let's have a look. First of all, let's have a look at the moral or the obedience test. Now, John wasn't writing in a vacuum. Let's get out of our head the fact that, everything around the world was Christian and happy and, merry-go-rounds and all the rest. No, there was a lot of incredible opposition. And the main opposition were the people who said, we know, can't tell us anything. You met Christians like that? We know, you can't tell me anything, I know. Yes, well, God continues to teach us all many things. Now, I've got up there that there are some things that we come to know through experience, and there are some things that are truth and we know it's evident. I think there's that saying, isn't there? There are things we know, and there are things we know we don't know, and there are things we know we ought to know. Well, let's be sure of what we do know. There are things that life has taught us, and we know that. There are things that are true, and we know that. We know certain things that God has said, and we need to cling on to those things. We need to cling on to those things because people, theories, ideas want to challenge that. So, we know that we are saved or that we are Christians. So how do we know that? How do we know that? How do you know that, Peter? Right, so Peter said, because of the experience he had with God one night and the way God has continued to lead him and his experiences. Deborah? Quick. Yes, we do need to pray and ask forgiveness. That's the next point, I think, Deborah. All right, you've jumped ahead, righto, but that's all right. We need to know that we are Christians based on what? The truth of God, right. Yes, so when someone says, are you sure you're a Christian? What do we say? Oh, sometimes I feel I am, sometimes I feel I'm not. No, I know I am. Geraldine. Well, you got baptised and that was great, wasn't it? But we know we're Christian because on the word of God we have put our faith in the living Christ. That's what matters. Independent of how we feel sometimes, because sometimes we feel we're not Christian. Sometimes we do things and we think, maybe that was a bit dodgy. But it's what Christ has done, not what we do. We need to be very careful about that. It's the finished work of the cross that is our salvation. That's where we stand. Right. So, we know. But, as John Stott has said, no religious experience is valid if it doesn't have a moral consequence. We don't say, I'm a Christian. Ha ha, and I can do as I please. That's wrong. Being a Christian has an outworking, and those two things need to go together. We might have family members who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. No, well, maybe you don't. But your life needs to show that you're a Christian. And going to church is one aspect of that, or meeting with believers is an aspect of that. So, in the chapter that was read to us by Ruth, if anyone obeys God's word, God's love is made truly complete in him. Whoever claims to live in him, verse 6, must walk as Jesus did. We need to talk, as the people say, talk the talk and walk the walk. Those two things need to come together. Yes. We can't fool God and we don't fool people. We need to be careful. Now, the next thing that we look at is what we call, or what I've called, the social test. The love or social test. Isn't this lovely? The way he starts there in verse 7. Dear friends. Like, it just seems to me as if someone's come to the door and given you a big hug. Dear friends, I'm writing this because you're a friend and I want you to know about it. That seems to me that's how the word of God is, Deborah, isn't it? It's like God giving us a big hug and a big I love you sort of hug. Yeah. So, now, it's not a new commandment, but it is a new commandment. And in that translation that Ruth read to us, he said, I'm not giving you a new commandment because love has been right from the word go. So it's not new, but in another way it is. It's reinterpreted. And this is what's amazing. Jesus reinterpreted loving neighbours. You know, the Old Testament people, oh yes, we need to love. But then Jesus said, hang on a minute. Just take into account the love of the Samaritan. Oh, that's a bit different. I mean, some of us would say, did Christian mission actually love our Indigenous folk? Now, some Indigenous people would say yes, some Indigenous people would say no. We just need to be very, very careful. And we need to be careful too, because a lot of teaching is dodgy. Yes, a lot of love doesn't really cover everything. The whole New Age, children of God, all of that stuff, it really was just license for misbehaviour, really, and people just lived as they want. Now, I've got there that light goes with love and darkness goes with hate. We can't fake or hide love or hatred. Love your brother and your sister. Abide in light and don't stumble. It's interesting, isn't it? Either we're obedient or we're not. Now, what's John saying? He's saying these people who say they know things don't live as if they know things. So the question to us is always, I know certain things. What I'm knowing, is that translated into my life? Or do I just continue to live on without being changed? If you're reading your Bible every day, is the Spirit of God teaching you, actually, you've lived like this all your life, but maybe you need to change and live like this? Maybe this is a weak spot. See, it's very easy for us to think we know what God has told us, and he has, but has there come a stop? And that's what I'm saying on today's leaflet. Stop and evaluate. Stop and just check how things measure up in all of this. So we've got now the love or the social test. Christian faith is expressed in obedience to God and a love for our brothers and sisters. And the last test is what we believe. What we believe. Now, the sad thing here is that there has been lots of dodgy teaching over the years, and people have been sucked in and spat out. And some of you might know people who've been taken in by false teaching and just now they say, we don't care, we've given up. It's very, very sad. So heretics compared with the genuine, the Antichrist. Now, haven't we heard about Antichrists for years? It was Hitler. It was communist. It was the joining together, and it was going to be the euro. You know, it was just common money. The sign of 666 was going to be printed on people's foreheads. The common market. All of these things have been seen as the Antichrist. World domination and control. And I think even now some people are thinking that maybe the whole COVID thing is a bit of a scheme to control the world. Well, anti against, we know that. So what have we got here as an Antichrist? Well, the Antichrist, we're told, is a forerunner of the one to come. So he comes instead of Christ, against Christ, a substitute, one who is a lying pretender and makes himself out to be the one. Human teachers, and they went out. Now, I don't mean that, I don't think that's just someone who's left the church here and gone somewhere else, but people who are actually denying and saying no. Friends, please, 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 when you go to Coorong next time, instead of buying the latest Coorong book, buy yourself something that just gives you an insight into different religions and what they believe, so you know where you stand. You don't need to be a theologian. I'm not talking about being a theologian. I'm just saying, buy something so you know. Now, you see, this has got sections on other religions, but it's also got things like Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, Mormons. Know the truth of God's word, and then just be aware where some of these groups deviate, because people are taken in all the time. Please, please be careful. Now, at one church I was at, there was a whole swathe, if you like, of people who were very keen on Dr. Baxter Kruger, who was around about 20 years ago. He was a man who was very keen on perichorosis. Some of you may have heard of this, some of you don't care. But one of his books was, You Are a Child of God Always. And the confusion that came there was that you don't need to be forgiven. You just need to be told you are a child of God. Now, how do we put that together with what we learned last week about if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just? If you don't need to confess, why is that bit in the Bible? You see, please, please use the brain that God has given you and re-inspires by his Spirit. So when something crops up, as I say, you don't need to be a theologian, but you just need to be able to say, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Why would someone be saying, you're already a child of God, you don't need to be forgiven, if the Bible is full of forgiveness and the need to confess? This doesn't measure up. And then just check it out in Scripture. People easily follow, as it were, the Antichrist, because lots of things are attractive. Now, just in the last few weeks, as some of you may have been reading in different papers about QAnon, the conspiracy theory that's around at the moment, and people are saying that about a sixth of the American population, in one form or another, are following this. And it's weird, it's unusual. We've just had the 60th anniversary of what would have been Princess Diana's birthday, the unfolding of a statue. Some people following this, extremists, believe that she's still alive in some tunnel under London. Now, we laugh about that and we think, oh, friends, if you read some of the articles, what they're saying is that the evangelical Christian band through America very much is following some of this QAnon stuff. So please just be aware when people are talking about it. Now, we've got a friend from one of our churches. She was a lady very on fire for Jesus. And she was one of these people who, if she went into the city, sitting having a coffee in the mall, someone sit down beside her and she'd start talking. And very shortly she'd be saying to the person, oh, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Have you got any faith? And she really was an evangelist. She's become quite taken in by this. So now when she sits next to someone in the mall, she says, what do you think of Donald Trump? Because his whole idea for presidency and whatnot, a lot of that is through this QAnon. So people who are sincere can be taken in by things that are not fully of God. All I'm saying, friends, is we think about this. How do we measure up? Well, don't be one of those people taken in, sucked in or whatever. So, know the truth. What is the effect of heresy? Well, it denies that Jesus is the Christ. So if someone says to you, oh, I'm a believer, but I believe this, what do you just need to ask? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That really is a touchstone and a keystone. And I've got down there two safeguards from verses 24 and 27. The first is the Word of God. Friends, how we need to have it and to know it. And secondly, is the Spirit of God. The truth, objective. The Spirit, subjective. Now, if it's true that the Spirit of God leads us into truth, we need to be open to let that happen and to allow the Spirit of truth to touch our lives. Three tests. Three tests. The love test, the belief test, and the obedience test. On the back of our paper today, I've just got abide in him. I guess that's what John would want to say. Abide in him. John was the apostle of love. Everything he wrote was filled with love. And he would just want to say, oh, Jesus loves you so much. Just live in him. Why wouldn't you want to live in him? Why wouldn't you want him to live in you? Why wouldn't you want him in your home? Like, I think it's beyond John's comprehension to think the people wouldn't want Jesus because he was so much in love with Jesus. And I've got there, God is love and God is light. And people talk about hell. I just read someone the other day, you know, about we're going to all be in the burning pit of fire if we don't believe. I just think that John would say, when you're separated from the love of God and when you're separated from the light of God, that's hell. We once drove out of Coober Pedy early one morning. It's the blackest I have ever seen anything. We turned our headlights off for a minute and it was just absolutely pitch dark. And we both said then, this must be what it is to be separated from God, who is light. I think that'd be hell. And then to be separated from everything that is love. You know, people say, oh, I'll be happy in hell with me mates drinking a beer. Well, actually, I think with your mates is a degree of love. And if we're separated from God, there's a separation from all of that. I think it's really very sad. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. What a privilege to be part of God's family. Let's make sure that we know we are and we live as his people. Let's pray. Our Father, by your word, reaffirm your faith in us. By your Spirit, reassure us. By your word, protect us. By your Spirit, we pray that you would guide us. So, Father, in every way, open our heart and our mind. Not that we want to be arrogant and say, we know, but we want to be able to say, we do know. We know for sure that we are your children, that you are our God. Our trust is in you, our Father. Amen.